This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here, Cutter Consulting Group. Super excited to be doing my first ever LinkedIn Live audio. My advisor, James Jacoby, has been doing these, and he said, hey, you should put one of these together. You should go out there and put some content out there and do it in a way that is, maybe more accessible via LinkedIn, something that more people can tune into. You know, video is obviously great. Anybody that follows me or is connected to me knows that I do a lot of video, and this is just a different medium. So I appreciate people being in here. Obviously, I see a thumbs up. Thanks, Joe, for that. Hopefully the audio is coming through. It's one of those times where you're doing this and I'm not listening into it, so I'm assuming it's coming in good. Good to see everyone. Jeff, again, Joe, Danish, my friend Oliver Katt, famous from Call Center Confidence of Cutter and Katt. Here we are, Oliver, doing something different here and trying out the LinkedIn audio. Fred Stacey, we just literally recorded a new podcast episode not too long ago. David Paul Abdul, great for being here. Grateful for you being here. My voice is a little scratchy today. I was just at the PACE conference, ACX 2022 in Nashville this week, and a lot of talking, a lot of meeting with people, and then also a lot of trying to chat and network and talk to people in country western clubs with live music playing at maximum volume. And so I literally blew up my voice in 3 days of that. Brandon, who's on here from Fusion BPO, he knows that. He was there also trying to yell over the sound of loud music and still chat with people. So voice is a little off today, but I appreciate everyone being here. So my focus is on doing this one time a week at least, and we'll start and we'll move forward from there. Anybody who knows me, and I put this in the description when I launched this, is I tried Clubhouse a little over a year and a half ago. It was about January of last year. Clubhouse was great. Did some audio programs with a few people. Gave that a shot. I found that a lot of people on Clubhouse were looking for either get rich quick or money making things or relationship tips or spiritual things. And that really wasn't my focus and my goal. And when I found out about this on LinkedIn, I thought, hey, this is the audience. This is the group that I want to be speaking to. This is the people that will appreciate it. And so however many people come each time, it's going to be great. Also, so you know, this isn't recorded. So you get one shot at this. It's like live radio where you're either here tuning into this or you're not. If you catch it, great. If you don't catch it, like, it's gone, like the Clubhouse model. As we all know, LinkedIn's not great at inventing anything new. They just take other people's ideas and sometimes make them better, sometimes don't. Sorry for any LinkedIn execs that might be listening to this, but it's true. You know that. So what's interesting, though, is I'm also trying to record this on the back end, and then I will make this as a replay that I will post probably on YouTube with some infographics and whatnot over it. So if you ever miss any of these, that will be my plan. Stay tuned. Also, the way that this works is I could invite people up to the stage, I believe. However, there's no chat, there's no DM mode, there's no way to interact from like a chat as like a LinkedIn Live. So if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, ideas, anything like that, DM me, just send me a direct message. I will see that, especially if we're doing this live and you want to ask something or you have some insight, send it to me in a DM. I'll be watching that as well. And then that way I can interact with you at the same time. So that's kind of how this process works if you're not familiar in tuning into these. All right, so let's talk about what I wanted to talk about. Hopefully you have the ability to take some notes. Hopefully you're in a place where you're sitting down, you're listening, you're ready to go, and some insight here. What I really want to do is I want to help people, anybody who knows me, I want to help everybody close more deals. I want you to make more money, doing it in a way that obviously leverages authentic persuasion, and I want to improve your selling effectiveness. And today, I'm going to challenge your thinking. I really want to challenge what you think about your prospective customers. We're going to start with that. A lot of times, people come to me and they want sales strategies, sales tips. They want to know, what do I have to say to close more deals? What's the email that I can write to close more? Like, they want the thing that will help them just close more deals. And we have to take a giant step back, and we have to understand who you're interacting with. And essentially, let's put it another way, what you're up against, because you're up against something pretty professional and guarded and worried and protected in that consumer that you're dealing with. Now, why does this matter? Why are we going to talk about prospects and understanding them? Obviously, with the goal of helping the right ones move forward, is that most companies think they are the hero. Most companies are started by somebody who came up with a solution. They have a product, they have a service, they have something, and they're looking at the world saying, I've got the solution. I've got the tool that everyone needs and everyone should want it and everyone should want me sometimes. And this came up on the podcast that Fred and I just recorded where we were talking about, you know, the field of dreams mode where sometimes people make something they think everyone will want and they're hoping people will be beating down their door for it. Other times what happens is people see a need in the market. They see a pain that needs to be solved or goals that people have, and then they create that solution for them and sell that. But usually companies are thinking about themselves as the hero, and then salespeople generally are just thinking about themselves. And I'm going to talk about prospects in general, but if it helps, prospects are also just thinking about themselves and they only care about themselves. And since they're human and salespeople are human, then it by extension, that's usually the default mode. Is that salespeople are generally thinking of themselves and they're generally an extension of that company who also thinks they're a hero. And so they're in the hero mode. They are the ones that they think they're there to save the day. And then they're looking at it a certain way. Because of this dynamic, because of companies who think they're the hero trying to save the day, salespeople by extension who are on that same page, then what happens is you've got a sales process. If it's built at all, if there's actually a documented sales process, then what happens is it's focused on what the company wants and needs, and it's focusing on the prospective customer wanting and needing it from them. And then the telling, right, and the selling and the pushing and the process where it's all about what the company thinks everyone wants, what the salesperson wants. And it's really that, you know, monologuing, high pressure sales, sometimes manipulation, sometimes, you know, pushing people forward and really trying to overcome every objection, hit everyone with facts, features, benefits, you know, basically everything from the brochure, everything from the website, and just, you know, pushing people through. It also is where the intersection of the numbers game comes in, where a lot of sales organizations and a lot of sales processes are built around the numbers game. How do we get into in front of enough people? Because if we take enough swings, then we will eventually hit the ball enough times and that will make us successful, right? And yes, that is true, but a lot of people do that as they're crashing and burning because you can't play the numbers game. And what's really important is you can't play that game right now like you used to. It used to be something that companies and salespeople could do as far as selling in a certain way, trying to run the process, trying to control things, coming at it from a hero's perspective and that they're in charge of everything. And that time is different. So, let's talk about that. Let's first talk about what your prospects are thinking. And again, I appreciate everyone in here in the audience that's tuned in. This is the first LinkedIn live audio live. I forget what they call it, that I'm doing here on LinkedIn. I've done Clubhouse in the past. I've done videos, easy. This is fun because it's just kind of, talking to the microphone, speaking to all of you. Downside is it's not interactive. I love speaking to an audience or a group and having people interact. Some familiar faces in the audience. Sean, long time no chat. Glad you could make it info a little bit. So again, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, insights, anything like that, if you have a question you want me to go in as I go through this, feel free to send me a direct message because that's the only way. There's not like a chat feature in this. So send me a direct message. I'm watching if those pop up on my screen. So, all right, let's get into what are your prospects thinking? Now, here's the biggest thing, and it's really simple. So write this down, super simple. Your prospects are only thinking about themselves. Your prospects think they are the center of the universe. Your prospects think that everything revolves around them. Now, how can I say that? How can I say something as universal as that, where I'm saying all your prospects are thinking about themselves and everything revolves around them? Well, again, I alluded it to earlier, they are human. So by extension, because they're human, that's all they think about. And that's true for all of us. And this is where, just a little sidebar, that I think is really impactful and helpful no matter what you're selling, right? Because I'm looking through the group that's in here tuned in, and some of you I know, some of you I don't, and the ones that I know are in different verticals, like completely selling completely different things. Here's the thing to understand, and this is a really big mindset shift that I'm finding a lot of people, it's helping them with their sales process, is that it's not B2C. It's not business to consumer, you know, like financial services, debt relief. It's not even B2B, right? Like SaaS or enterprise or consulting or anything like that. It's not either of those. It's H to H. It's human to human. The fundamental thing is no matter what you're selling, no matter the sales cycle, the price point, nothing. None of that is, all of that is surface, because the fundamental is that it's human to human. You're dealing with another human. Which means, and that's why I'm doing this, especially as the start of these LinkedIn live audios, is that I want you to understand humans, right? And now the key is that you're a human as well. We're all humans. And the thing is that as humans, there's only two things, or there's two basic things that drive us in our actions. And it comes from the amygdala, which is the oldest part of our brain, which is the survival kind of center. And that's responsible for fight, flight, or freeze. That's where it's looking at and analyzing the world as friend or foe. Is this good or bad? Is this a benefit? Is this a risk? Is this a threat? It's looking at all of that. And it's doing that in two main categories. One is that as a human, care about our own survival. Most creatures out there in the world do. Most animals do. Because if I don't care about my survival, I can't assume anyone else is going to care. And then I'm not going to make it very long. And my goal is to make it long enough so that I can procreate, right? That's our underlying genetic mission at some level. And so humans are really torn because we care about ourselves. We care about our own survival. We care about what makes us happy and or survive long enough. And then on the other side, we are also a tribal society. We are a part of a group of humans in order to be successful. And it's those two factors, both our individual focus on our survival and being part of a tribe, that has led us to dominate the crap out of this planet for good and for evil, right? Like, it's just what we do. But that's why we've gotten to the place, because we care about ourselves and we care about the group. And so, and again, I'll get into why this matters for your prospects and why this goes into sales, because we're dealing with humans. So you've got that human, all of us, torn between those two things, the individual and the tribe. We, you know, it wasn't that long ago where our survival was truly based on the tribe. And if you did something wrong, if you violated the rules of your tribe, then you would get kicked out of the tribe and left on your own. And pretty much no one made it out in the wilds on their own against nature, against animals, that despite the fact that we think we are the top dog, we are not the top dog on the food pyramid in most locations. There are other things out there happily willing to eat us up. So our survival is based on those two things. So when we're talking about prospective customers, which is all that truly matters. And what happens is they only care about themselves. They see themselves as the center of the universe. And I'll give you a fun thing to think about, is that as the center of the universe, as the hero in the story, which we'll talk about probably in the next one, I'll go into more detail. Think about for yourself, because again, we're all human. I'm going to keep saying it because you got to understand it's not just them. It's all of us. Is that when you drive down the road, are you thinking, yeah, I'm just an extra, I'm driver number 6 in that lady's adventure on her way to work or wherever she's going, right? Probably not. You're driving down the road or at the grocery store or wherever you might be going, or sitting on a plane like I was several times over this past week, thinking like, it's all about me. I'm at the center of all of this. And I don't know about these people, but they're here as extras in my movie, in my story, right? And again, we'll talk about the hero side next week more, but you've got to understand that they think they are the center of the universe, all right? So that's super important, because once you get that, then we can start going from there and building effective sales processes. Now, that's what the prospects are thinking. They're thinking it's all about them. Next, let's talk about what they're afraid of, because this is so important. If you have a potential customer who is not a customer yet, right? So they're a prospect. And funny enough, the podcast that Fred and I were just recording earlier, it was actually about the CX, you know, the customer experience. And there was a debate, and I brought up, you know, where's that line in the sand between the sales experience and the customer experience? Because in my My point of view, you can't have a customer experience with a non-customer. So when somebody's still a prospect, how can it be the customer experience? So it's an interesting debate. When that episode drops, make sure to check it out with Annette France. But so for me, if we're looking at somebody who is not a customer, they have not yet decided to buy from you, then it means they are afraid of one thing. Now, it's interesting. And a lot of times people get shocked when I say there's one thing holding them back, one thing they're afraid of, because most people think there's this and there's that and I've got to overcome. No, there's one thing that people are afraid of. The reason why they haven't bought from you yet and become a customer of yours yet is that they are afraid of change. The fundamental thing, write that down, draw a circle around it, put a star next to it. They are afraid of change. That primal part of our brain, the amygdala, like I mentioned earlier, that's focused on our own survival and being a part of a tribe and not upsetting the dynamics of the tribe, is afraid of change and it's afraid of the unknown. That's literally it. That's what it's afraid of. Somebody has not become a customer yet because that's what they're afraid of. The reason I can say that is they weren't afraid of change. They were open to change and they were ready for change and they were okay with it, then they would be a customer. They would have signed up with you already. They'd be a customer. Or in that first interaction that you have with them, they would say, "Hi, my name is Jason and I saw this on your website and I'd like to figure out how to pay for it. I have my credit card in my hand and I'm ready to go." Right? Done and done. They have accepted change. They have accepted the risks. They have accepted unknowns. They know that they've already balanced it in their mind. They've done the analysis in their head or no analysis and they just are a risk taker and they're ready to go. For everyone else who's not a customer yet, at any level in your sales cycle, in the beginning or, you know, as you're going through it, it's because they're afraid of change. Now, a lot of sales processes are built about pushing people here or tricking people here or manipulating this or using NLP here or offering bribes and discounts over here, which is a form of manipulation. But fundamentally, all those things are trying to battle somebody's fear of change in the unknown, but doing it in a way that's not as effective long term. Again, the reason I say effective long term is a lot of those old school sales processes that are built around the things I just mentioned, they can get short term results. A customer, once they snap out of that, you know, that magic or manipulation or whatever it might be from the salesperson, once that effect wears off, they will have a ton of buyer's remorse. They will regret it and then they will cancel or want a refund or do a chargeback or whatever that might be. And so those things don't have a long lasting effect because people are doing it extrinsically instead of selling intrinsically to what people are really up against. So remember this, what you're are afraid of is change and the unknown. They only care about themselves and they're fundamentally stuck in their comfort zone where it's safe and cozy. And what you're trying to sell them, what you want to move them forward towards as a client, a customer, whatever that looks like, requires change. In our primal part of our brain, change is dangerous. Change is risky. Change is scary. And some people will accept it. Some people won't. Some people have a high tolerance over here. Some people don't over there, right? I know people who literally won't try the food because their comfort zone is over here and new food is dangerous or risky or they had a bad experience once and they just won't try anything new. Other people would eat anything and try anything and they literally don't care. Some people will always go to the same place on vacation, stay in the same hotel, go to the same places during that vacation because that's their comfort zone. That's what they like. It's their tradition. Whatever that might be. Other people are literally happy just jumping in the car, heading a certain direction. Who knows what's going to happen? And let's see what that world looks like, right? People have comfort zones in different areas, but just to understand that's what you're up against. Now, let's transition to the next part of this that's super important in understanding your prospects, which is what are they looking for? So far I've covered the fact that they think it's all about them. They're the center of the universe. They are the hero of the story and everything revolves around them. And again, side note reminder, especially for the people that are coming in now or missed the first part, is that's all about us. We are human. It's not B2B. It's H to H, which means it's all of us. When we're customers, when we're not in the middle of selling something, we are customers generally in our life throughout the day. And so it's also us. So remember, first, your prospects, it's all about them. They're the center of the universe and they think everything revolves around them. They're the hero, and I'm going to talk about that in the next session next week. Second part is, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of change, because in our mind, in that part, in our amygdala, change equals danger, danger equals death. Like, that's the chain of succession when it comes to that in our mind. So remember that. That's what they're afraid of. And in fact, I'll throw this out there. I wasn't planning on this, but if you want to write this down, you have one job, right? One job in sales. You truly only have one job, not the tactics, the strategies. All those are tools in the toolbox. You have one job, and that is to make your prospects feel safe. Okay? And SAFE, you can write this down as an acronym, successful at fear elimination. I'll say it again, successful at fear elimination. Everything in a process, everything of overcoming objections, everything that we could go into hours and hours worth of training and detail on is really about helping somebody feel safe because they're in their comfort zone, and to move forward requires change. What you're selling requires change. Change is dangerous. You have to make them feel safe, successful at fear elimination, to get out of their comfort zone long enough to become a customer and then stay outside of their comfort zone long enough to remain a customer, right? And that's where retention and buyer's remorse, all that stuff, which I talk about in the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, about buyer's remorse and where that comes from. And fundamentally, it's this. So we've got those parts, right? What they're thinking, what they're afraid of. And then lastly, what they're looking for. Because fundamentally, say, a bad connotation in the world. Sales is somewhere on the spectrum of being a dirty word for most people, right? Like, I don't want to deal with a salesperson because what is a salesperson going to try to do to me? They're going to try to sell. And typically it's old school sales, right? Like, I want someone who can help me, but what I don't want is a salesperson. And if you don't agree with me and you think that the world is okay with salespeople and like salespeople, then just go on LinkedIn, since we're all here. This is a LinkedIn live audio, and this is where we're all living in this moment, is feel free to scroll through and look at people's job descriptions. Go into your network and look at all the salespeople, right? You can even search and say sales, and then look at what the job titles are of people in sales. You got account executive, business development representative, sales development representative, account manager. Like, it's all sales, but companies and people hide the fact that it's sales because sales is historically gross. And with that, and this is where this comes into here, is sales is dangerous. If you want it to be all about yourself, you are worried of what a salesperson's going to do to you, especially if you ever bought anything and then felt buyer's remorse. You're like, I'm never going to do that again and let somebody talk me into that. And yet here you are, which means if your potential customers are interacting with you, they filled out a form, they've responded to a text message, you've got them on the phone, they've agreed to set a demo, and they've used your calendar link, and here you are in front of you on a Zoom call or whatever. That means that they are really torn because they are afraid of change. They are worried about change, and they're worried about you because you're a salesperson, and salespeople are dangerous, inherently dangerous and terrifying in the world. And there must be something they really want help with to put up with those two big risks, the risks of their life in, you know, the comfort zone, the unknown, and unknown equals danger and death. And then also dealing with you, the salesperson, right? You've got to understand that. Like, they must want something, either get out of pain or accomplish a goal, get to a better place, whatever that looks like, right? I'm not a big one on fear mongering and selling only from fear and pain and old Sandler pain submarine mode, right? Like, that's not my thing. I think sometimes that works for some people, some sales environments with some verticals, with some of the clients, pain is the best motivator. Sometimes it's the hope, it's the promise, it's the future, is the same thing, right? In anything, you could use either one as a good tactic, but not one of them all the time. And so what happens is that person is looking for something. And what they want, and this is the big thing, this is the punchline for all of this, is at the intersection of all that we've talked about, what they're looking for is they're looking for help, they're looking for wisdom, and they're looking for guidance. So they're looking for help, they're looking for wisdom, and they're looking for guidance. And the key is, right, and this is audio, so you can't see the video, otherwise I would show you, within arm's reach of all of us, I'm just assuming, pretty much 24/7, even while you're sleeping and you know that you shouldn't have it near you, we all have all the access to the world's information at our fingertips. Literally, here's an example. Before getting on this was my first LinkedIn Live audio event. Talking to James, who's in the audience here, a great He's like, hey, I use this for recording. I'm like, okay, but let me see what else. And I was like, how do I even do this? I literally Google, how do I record as a creator? And it's not embedded in there, but literally I found an article from Gary Vee. And if you know Gary Vee, he's always ahead of things and then publishes great content. I read an article. It's like plugging into the matrix and boom, now I know how to record audio. I'm using Otter over here. I'm using this here. I've got this. I see you guys. I have it on my other screen. Like I learned it in like minutes and here we are. And so like people don't need knowledge, right? People don't need info. If I want to change something or fix my car, I can watch a video to figure that out. What people want, though, is wisdom. They don't want knowledge and information and facts and features and benefits. They don't want the things that salespeople think their job is to provide. That is no longer the case at scale. Sure, some people may call up. Some people might fill out the form and they literally have no idea what's going on. They did no research. They have no idea what you offer. They don't know how any of it works. And there's going to be some education to it. But that should not be the main basis of your closing techniques and strategies to overwhelm someone with knowledge and information. Because what people want is wisdom. Because again, remember, I'm covering this in a certain way. They only care about themselves. We all do. They're afraid of change. And the dangers of change, we all are. That's why they're not a customer of yours yet. And so what they want is the help, the wisdom, and the guidance to know what is the safest way to go. They're in a situation. They have a goal, and they're looking for a way to get to a better place, right? They want help up the mountain to success, right? Across the finish line, whatever analogy you want to use. They're looking for help. They're scared. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. And they're willing to risk it all by talking to you, a salesperson, right? And I'm speaking for my own sake. Like if I have to talk to a salesperson, I must really want something really bad because I don't enjoy it. Even I don't enjoy it. And I work with them all the time. So I just don't like old school sales people and old school sales strategies. It just doesn't work. So remember, what they're craving is help. They're craving wisdom. They're craving guidance. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in the next session, like I said, next week. And we're going to talk about them as the hero and then where your role is and what fits, where you fit in with this. And it's really important to understand that that's what they're looking for. And so as you're building your sales process or as you're analyzing your sales process, your sales conversations, hopefully you have one actually. But as you look at, keep those things in mind. Again, your prospects think it's all about them. They're the center of the universe. They're afraid of change and the unknown. Your one job is to make them feel safe, which I covered earlier. And they're craving help, wisdom, and guidance. They're looking for a guide. They're looking for someone to help them make the right decision for them. Not what you think is the right decision for everyone you sell to. Not what your company has told you to do. What the brochure says, not what your website that's only focused on yourself as being the hero of the story is focused on telling everyone what they need, but literally what does that person need? Why is what I have going to help them and how is it going to help them? And so once you do that, once you understand that, then you will totally shift the way that you see. So hopefully that helps. Value. I see here we got Boo Pendra. He said, what is the strategies for better sales? So that is a really deep question. There's a lot of stuff that I could cover with that. I'll send you a message with some of that. Obviously, it's first understanding this because it's so important to understand your prospects. And really what I'll tell you is a lot of times, and I work with companies where we go through your training and we do a lot of the strategies for better sales, but a lot of it is the fundamentals, right? The foundational things where once you know these, then the rest of it is just some tools and strategies and processes. And so, one of the things I'll send you a link for it. Also for anyone, if you want to check it out, a really good place to go is if you go to YouTube and you go to the Jason Cutter YouTube channel, and you look in there, there's Authentic Persuasion Pathway, and there's a good series of videos there that, you know, we'll do similar stuff and we'll talk about it here. So, that's really one of the things is to be better in sales. What I found and why I wrote selling with authentic persuasion is because the authentic piece is what matters so much first, right? Once you know you, once you know who your prospects are, once you know what they're looking for most, then you can serve that up to them. And again, the rest of it is an easy process. So hopefully that helps for now. Again, make sure to go to YouTube and check for the Jason Cutter YouTube channel. You can see that on there. Any other questions, feel free to send them to me in a DM. I'm about to log out and finish this. I was planning about 15 minutes and here we are 30 minutes in. I appreciate everyone who stayed, but send me a message. Happy to reply afterwards. Happy to talk to any of you about sales. If you want to chat more, if you're looking for anything like this, I have developed a program called the Selling Effectiveness Workshop, which is a 4-part series doing for companies and teams. If you want that, or if you're just thinking like, how do I sell more? Kind of like Bhupendra's email or a message about that for your team. Just send me a message. We can chat, see if it's a good fit, see if there's anything I can help you with. And the big thing is, and I appreciate everyone for being here. Thank you for the inaugural group of people on my first LinkedIn Live event. James, again, thanks for tuning in as well and inspiring me / pushing me / challenging me / whatevering me to jump in here and do this today and just get on this and overcome my negative thoughts about Clubhouse when that was out. So hopefully this was valuable. Hope everyone got something from this, and hopefully this will help you with understanding your prospects. And of course, thank you all for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.